In a previous church I pastored in Sydney, I worked with three successive groups of young people, roughly early to mid-teens, over a two-year period. And the goal was to ensure they understood the, you know, the essentials of the Christian faith and work on how that applied to their lives. And at the end of this process, they would be given the opportunity to publicly announce their faith or confirm their faith in a worship service, which those of you who've grown up in the Lutheran Church, we call confirmation. So I worked with three groups over 6 years, and as part of their faith formation, each young person was asked to attend a confirming Easter camp. And if the family couldn't afford the camp, we would pay for it as a church. We were so committed to them going, we didn't want costs to prevent them from getting there. And the reason we were so committed for these young people to go to this camp was because of the testimonies they shared, usually at the confirmation service, about the impact this camp had on them and their faith journey. And in fact, it was amazing, three groups, 6 years, you know, over 2 year periods, every group would always have two or three kids who'd get up and say, at confirming Easter camp, my life was changed. And the way they would describe it is, they said it was like my faith went from my head to my heart. It was like, you know, up to that point, all the information they had about Christianity was just information they might have agreed with in their head, and it went down into their heart where they actually believed it and trusted it as truth, saving truth for them. Now, this is why we were so committed to sending them to this camp, because through their experience at that camp, God was opening their hearts up to the good news of Jesus. And he was changing them and making them open. And so we believe that process was so important, because without this hard experience of Jesus, these young people were at danger that what they knew about him would just remain this head knowledge about him and wouldn't actually impact their lives. However, once that experienced Jesus at a heart level, we knew that the potential for this to grow and become life-transforming for them had increased, you know, exponentially. Now, as you think about that, reflect on your own life. You know, have there been times in your walk with Jesus, your faith journey, where you can go, yeah, I can remember it was like what I knew about Jesus went from something in my head that I felt in my heart. It really changed. It changed from information to something that was transforming. And I haven't been quite the same since. Can you recall at least one of those incidents? Many of us have more than one. Well, in today's Bible reading, we hear about a lady called Lydia. And she experiences the power of God opening up her heart so that what she knew about God in her head went to her heart. And we're told in the reading, one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple. She was a worshipper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Now, the question I want to ask of this story is, can we learn something from it that we can apply to our lives so that we can be open and responsive to the message of Jesus, so that it gets in and reaches us at a heart level, at a transforming level, so that it changes us and it fuels, it not only creates faith, but fuels and sustains our walk with Jesus. And the simple way to put it is, how does what we believe move from our head to our heart? Well, before I go any further, it's important to say up front that opening hearts is God's work through the Holy Spirit. The Lord opened her heart, Lydia's heart, to respond to Paul's message. Faith is a gift from God. And while I might draw out some things that we can be open to and participate in that, you know, create an environment for God's spirit to work in us, the opening of hearts, the growing of faith and trust is actually the work of God in us. We can't actually just do it ourselves. It requires the Spirit's work. So the question then, I think, is if the gift of faith, if the gift of moving what we know in our heads to our hearts is indeed the work of God through the Spirit, well, is there a way we access this or be open to it, or do we just sit back and hope God picks us to do that amazing thing in? No, there is a role we can play, and that is to ask, because it's the work of the Spirit, and Jesus taught that in prayer we can ask God for the Spirit with confidence. Jesus said this, he said, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, he's not saying all parents are evil, but he's saying parents aren't perfect. If imperfect parents who don't always get it right know how to give good things to their kids, how much more is a perfect, loving Heavenly Father going to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit when we ask for it? God wants to give us this gift. God wants, as the Bible says, God our Saviour wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If they need the gift of the Holy Spirit for that to happen, of course God wants to give it to us. And so you can pray that prayer for the Spirit in 100% confidence that God's eager and willing to give it. So if that's the case, then there's a good reflection question then is, how often do you actually ask God for the gift of the Holy Spirit to enable you to know Jesus on a far deeper level more fully? It's worth doing. And with today being Mother's Day, you know, as parents, mothers and fathers who follow Jesus, isn't our hope for our children that they too will grow up sharing our faith and following Jesus? Well, are we regularly praying for God to open the hearts of our children to the good news of Jesus? And the natural extension of that is, are we regularly praying this for others who we want to know Jesus? If it's a gift from God that we get through prayer, are we asking for it? Really, it's that simple. Now, if the movement of what we believe from our head to heart is the work of God through the Spirit, are there other things in this story we see that, and particularly Lydia's conversion, that show us what the Holy Spirit works through to open up our hearts? And the key thing that I see at work here is that the message of the cross. We're told that Paul shares with them, and at the beginning it says, we're told that Lydia was a worshipper of God. I just said she was converted. What does a worshipper, doesn't she already know God? Well, we need to unpack that a little. What that actually means is that Lydia, who was not a Jewish person, she was one of those people the Bible would call a Gentile, which simply means someone who's not a Jew. But she actually had made a choice to devoutly seek to follow the God of the Jews. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Rolly spoke about a guy called Cornelius. Same thing. Non-Jewish person, but feared God and wanted to follow the God of the Jews. Now, the thing is, so you go, oh, they already know in God, already know about God. Well, true, but the God they knew was the God, only the God they knew wasn't the full picture. They only knew God as he had revealed himself to the Israelites in the Old Testament. Yep, they would have heard the stories about the Messiah, but they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know the message of the cross. So the only God Lydia knew was this Old Testament God. And you could kind of end up in this place where she was worshipping this God, and you come to the conclusion that the way you worshipped and kept God happy was keeping all the rules and regulations that God had given the Israelites through Moses. And I tell you what, if anything can sort of keep your faith stuck at a head level and not a heart level, is thinking that you connect to God by following all these rules and regulations. And why does it stay up in the head? Because you're doing the sums in your head. Have I done enough to keep God happy? Have I done this, and this? Oh, does this take some away? And while you're thinking about that, you're missing the love that God may have and may have had, well, did have behind giving those commandments. You're not seeing any of that. You're just worried about whether you're measuring up. And if there's any heart emotion, it's probably fear. Am I good enough? Only the message of the cross, the message that God loves and accepts us, not because of anything we've done or do, but because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, has the capacity to really open us up at a heart level. And this was the message Paul shared about Jesus that day. And Lydia would have heard how Jesus had come to fulfill the Old Testament law perfectly and completely, the law that she was struggling to keep and uphold, and how Jesus did that for her and to anyone who would receive him. And how on the cross, Jesus actually died in her place for failing to keep that law, and in exchange gave his perfect score to her so that she could be confident all the time that God loved and accepted her. Not because of what she'd done, but because of what Jesus had done for her. And this is the message that brought a whole new insight and opened up her heart. What a life-changing message. You know, it was the message of the cross that God's Spirit worked through in the hearts of those young people from my previous church at the Confirming Easter Camp. And I know that because the Confirming Easter Camp was held over Easter, and they just walked the young people through all the events before and including Good Friday and Easter Sunday over the period of the camp. On Good Friday, they walked them up to this big hill and this beautiful campsite in Warrumbewi, and there were three crosses, and they would retell the events of Easter. And as the young people participated in this, the message got in. Something about it got into their heart and took what they had probably learnt and been faithfully taught by their parents about Jesus. Suddenly it went from up to here, the stuff they knew, to stuff down here they believed and understood the meaning and the purpose of it. It went from knowledge to revelation. It was amazing. Only the message of the cross can do that. Now, faith begins by us first hearing the message of Jesus, and then it moves from our head to our hearts as we receive that message as saving truth. No other message has the power to open our hearts up like that. And we need to hear that message often and repeatedly. Why? Well, for those of you who can think of those moments where you've had an intense encounter of Jesus at a heart level that you've not been the same since, have you noticed that as time goes, the intensity of that just wears off? That's actually normal with most human experiences. You know, we get excited about something, it wears off. It is normal. And what it points to is the reality that we need to continually be open to hearing and receiving again the message of the cross, so that a heart experience of Jesus and the God's gift of faith actually remain vibrant and alive in our hearts. That's why we've got to do it repeatedly. The point is, you cannot live your whole Christian life fueled by one heart encounter of Jesus. It just won't go the distance. It'll run out of power to sustain your faith journey, your walk with Jesus, if you don't keep allowing God to refill and refresh and reinvigorate that through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, sadly, not all the young people that I speak about who reported having a head-to-heart experience at the Confirming Easter Camp still actively follow Jesus. And I think this is largely due to them not giving, over a course of years, you know, priority or time to hearing afresh the message of Jesus and what he did for them on the cross. What they tried to do was to live their lives as followers of Jesus off the sort of impact and energy of that one encounter, and it didn't have the power to keep moving them towards the things of God and following Jesus, but rather it petered out, as we'd say, it ran out, and other priorities and other distractions took over the focus of their life. It happens to all of us. Now, the thing with Lydia is that we can see that she already developed a habit that was going to serve her incredibly well in sustaining what happened that day. We read in verse 13 that on the Sabbath we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. What did Paul and his companions expect to find a place of prayer? Well, because they'd been told that every Sunday this group of ladies meet out there. They were really regular at it. And Lydia was one of them. She was in this habit of gathering together, seeking God in prayer. So with that already in place, once God opened up her heart, that transformation would be fueled by this habit of prayer and meeting with others. And we can see it at work. At the end of this chapter, it says, after Paul and Silas came out of prison and they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them in faith, then they left. So it's gone from one woman being converted to now a whole house of brothers and sisters, I mean, you know, fellow believers meeting at her house. What happened? Well, God's work of changing her heart was so significant, Lydia couldn't keep her mouth shut. She went out and told everyone. We're told that our whole household was baptised. She must have told others as well. She was sharing her faith. I think it's really appropriate we talk about Lydia on Mother's Day, because Lydia as a mum had an incredible impact on the faith of her household by sharing it. But she's also an example to all of us who follow Jesus, because Lydia's faith was active from day one. She starts serving. First thing she says to Paul and the companions, you've got to come and stay at my house. Paul and Silas end up in jail. She keeps the other guys there and they keep sharing the faith. So when they return, they discover all these Christians meeting there. Lydia's using her house to host the first church there in Philippi. We know that she went on to become a key leader in the church. We also know that the Christians in Philippi generously supported Paul's missionary work, not only in that area, but throughout his other journeys. And Lydia, being a trader in fine linen, was probably a wealthy woman, would have significantly contributed to that. She was incredibly active. It's obvious that God had touched her at a heart level, because it showed in the way she lived from that moment on. And that actually fueled that encounter and kept it growing. As you reflect on your faith and your relationship with Jesus, how would you describe it? Has your faith touched you at a heart level, or is it still very much up here in the mind? I know we're all wired different, and we will be different in the way we do this, but would you describe your faith as something that is live and burning brightly in your life? Or would you say, oh, well, it was that, but it feels like it's dimming and it's not the same? Or maybe it's never come on at all. Well, my question is that if God uses the message of the cross, the message of what Jesus did for us, to open up our hearts, to firstly create faith and then to renew it and sustain it, if your desire is to see it grow in your heart and come alive, then my question I want to leave you with, what could you give priority to in your life to create an openness for that to happen? Is it regular worship, where you hear the message, sing the message, take the message in through the bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, where you participate in the message, which we will do before communion as we confess our sins? Is it the habit of prayer like Lydia had, both individually and with others? If things are feeling a bit stale, do we need to change it up a bit? What do I mean by that? Well, I think part of the impact of the confirming Easter camp for these young people was they knew the Easter story, but they went along and they experienced it in a different way by going through it. And somehow God cracked their heart open. You know, some of us are deeply moved by God's word coming to us in song and music. It's something about it gets in deeper. Or some other creative form, whether it be video or what we read. And we have an abundance of different media we can use nowadays. So might it be that you need to give a bit of thought, well, what really speaks to me and how can I access that? And then one other notable thing that Lydia did, and I've already spoken about, was that she shared the message of Jesus with those who didn't know. It might be that you don't have to do any of the things I've just talked about. It's just that you've been keeping the message to yourself. And the irony is that you think, oh, talking about Jesus, how's that going to help it come alive in me? It does. The more you talk about Jesus, the more it fuels your desire for it. And perhaps God's saying and calling to you to start having a bit of courage to speak about your faith to those who don't know him. Being a Christian is not just about agreeing with a set of beliefs intellectually. Being a Christian includes experiencing the truth of those beliefs at a heart level and placing your faith in them. Yes, it's the work of God, and because it's the work of God, we access through prayer. The Apostle Paul regularly prayed this for his people in the churches. In fact, this was the thing he prayed for all the time. He didn't pray that their circumstances would change or that whatever. He prayed this would happen. And as your pastor, I want to pray this for you now. And I'm going to use the words that he wrote in one of his prayers from Ephesians 3. I'll just finish now by praying this over you. I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have greater power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.